Chapter 28. Timing. Timing is important. Our society treats smoking flippantly as a slightly distasteful habit that can injure your health. It's not. It is drug addiction, a disease, and the number one killer in society. The worst thing that happens in most smokers' lives is getting hooked on that awful weed. If they stay hooked, horrendous things happen. Timing is important to give yourself the right to a proper cure. First of all, identify the times or occasions when smoking appears to be important to you. If you're a business person and smoke for the illusion of relief of stress, pick a relatively slack period. A good idea is to choose your annual vacation. If you smoke mainly during boring or relaxing periods, do the opposite. In any event, take the matter seriously and make the attempt to stop the most important thing in your life. Look ahead for a period of about 3 weeks and try to anticipate any event that might lead to failure. Occasions like a wedding or Christmas need not deter you, providing you anticipate them in advance and don't feel you'll be deprived. Don't attempt to cut down in the meantime, as this will only create the illusion that the cigarette is enjoyable. In fact, it helps to force as many of the filthy things down your throat as possible. While you're smoking that last cigarette, be conscious of the bad smell and taste, and think how marvelous it will be when you allow yourself to stop doing it. Whatever you do, don't fall into the trap of just saying, "Not now, later," then putting it out of your mind. Work out your timetable now, and look forward to it. Remember, you aren't giving anything up. On the contrary, you're about to receive marvellous positive gains. For years, I've been saying that I know more about the mysteries of smoking than anyone on this planet. The problem is this. Although every smoker smokes purely to relieve the chemical craving for nicotine, it is not the nicotine addiction itself that hooks the smoker, but the brainwashing that results from that addiction. An intelligent person will fall for a confidence trick, but only a fool will go on falling for it once he realizes that it is a confidence trick. Fortunately, most smokers aren't fools. They only think they are. Each individual smoker has his own private brainwashing. That's why there appears to be such a wide range of different types of smoker, which only serves to compound the mysteries. With the benefit of the years of feedback that I've had since the original publication of this book, and bearing in mind that each day I learn something new about smoking, I was agreeably surprised to realize that the philosophy I propounded in the first edition was still sound. The knowledge that I've accumulated over the years is how to better communicate that philosophy to each individual smoker. I know that every smoker can not only find it easy to stop, but can also actually enjoy the process. But that fact is pointless and exceedingly frustrating unless I can make the smoker realize it. Many people have said to me, "You say continue to smoke until you finish the book. This either makes the smoker take ages to read the book or just not finish it, period. Therefore, you should change that instruction." This sounds logical, but I know that if the instruction were "stop immediately," some smokers wouldn't even start reading the book. I had a smoker consult me in the early days. He said, "I really resent having to seek your help. I know I'm strong-willed. In every other area of my life, I'm in control. Why is it that all these other smokers are stopping by their own willpower, yet I have to come to you?" He continued, "I think I could do it on my own if I could smoke while I was doing it." This may sound like a contradiction, but I know what the man meant. We think of stopping smoking as something that is very difficult to do. What do we need when we have something difficult to do? We need our little friend. So stopping smoking appears to be a double blow. Not only do we have a difficult task to perform, which is hard enough, but also the crutch on which we normally rely on such occasions is no longer available. It didn't occur to me until long after the man had left that my instruction to keep smoking is the real beauty of my method. You can continue to smoke while you go through the process of stopping. You get rid of all your doubts and fears first, and when you extinguish that final cigarette, you are already a non-smoker and enjoying being one. The only chapter that has caused me to question my original advice seriously is this chapter on the matter of the right timing. Before, I advised that if your special cigarette occasions are stressful situations at the office, then you should pick a holiday to make an attempt to give up, and vice versa. In fact, that isn't the easiest way to do it. The easiest way is to pick what you consider to be the most difficult time to do it, whether you're under stress, attending a social gathering, needing to concentrate, or just bored. Once you've proved that you can cope with and enjoy life in the worst possible situation, every other situation becomes easy. But if I gave that as a definite instruction, would you even make the attempt to stop? Let me use an analogy. My wife and I intend to swim together. We arrive at the pool at the same time, but we rarely swim together. The reason is that she immerses one toe and half an hour later she's actually swimming. I can't stand that slow torture. I know in advance that at some stage, no matter how cold the water is, eventually I must brave it. So I've learned to do it the easy way. I dive straight in. Now, assuming that I were in a position to insist that if she didn't dive straight in, she couldn't swim at all, I know that she wouldn't swim at all. You see the problem. From feedback, I know that many smokers have used the original advice I gave on timing to delay what they think will be the evil day. My next thoughts were to use the technique that I use for the chapter on the advantages of smoking. Something like, timing is very important, and in the next chapter, I'll advise you about the best time for you to make the attempt. You turn the page over, and there is just a huge now. That is, in fact, the best advice. But would you take it? This is the subtlest aspect of the smoking trap. When we have genuine stress in our lives, it's not the time to stop. And if we have no stress in our lives, we have no desire to stop. Ask yourself the following questions. When you smoked that very first cigarette, did you really decide then that you would continue to smoke the rest of your life, all day, every day, without ever being able to stop? Of course you didn't. Are you going to continue the rest of your life all day, every day, without ever being able to stop? Of course you aren't. So when will you stop? Tomorrow? Next year? The year after? Isn't this what you've been asking yourself since you first realized you were hooked? Are you hoping that one morning you'll wake up and just not want to smoke anymore? Stop kidding yourself. I waited 33 years for it to happen to me. With drug addiction, you get progressively more hooked, not less. You think it'll be easier tomorrow? You're still kidding yourself. If you can't do it today, what makes you think it will be easier tomorrow? Are you going to wait until you've actually contracted one of the killer diseases? That would be a bit pointless. The real trap is the belief that now isn't the right time. It will always be easier tomorrow. We believe that we live stressful lives. In fact, we don't. We've taken most genuine stress out of our lives. When you leave your home, you don't live in fear of being attacked by wild animals. Most of us don't have to worry where our next meal is coming from, or whether we'll have a roof over our head tonight. Just think of the life of a wild animal. Every time a rabbit comes out of its burrow, it's risking its life. But the rabbit can handle it. It's got adrenaline and other hormones. So do we. The truth is, the most stressful periods for any creature are early childhood and adolescence. But 3 billion years of natural selection have equipped us to cope with stress. I was 5 years old when World War II started. We were bombed out, and I was separated from my parents for 2 years. I was billeted with people who treated me unkindly. It was an unpleasant period in my life, but I was able to cope with it. I don't believe it has left me with any permanent scars. On the contrary, I believe it's made me a stronger person. When I look back on my life, there has only been one thing that I couldn't handle, and that was my slavery to that damned weed. A few years ago, I thought I had all the worries in the world. I was suicidal, not in the sense that I would have jumped off a roof, but in the sense that I knew that smoking would soon kill me. I argued that if this was life with my crutch, life just wouldn't be worth living without it. What I didn't realize was that when you're physically and mentally depressed, everything gets you down. Now, I feel like a young boy again. Only one thing made the change in my life. I'm now out of the smoking pit. I know it's a cliché to say, if you haven't got your health, you've got nothing. But it's absolutely true. I used to think that physical fitness fanatics like golfer Gary Player were a pain. I used to claim there's more to life than feeling fit. There's booze. And tobacco. That's nonsense. When you feel physically and mentally strong, you can enjoy the highs and handle the lows. We confuse responsibility with stress. Responsibility becomes stressful only when you don't feel strong enough to handle it. The Richard Burtons of this world are physically and mentally strong. What destroys them is not the stresses of life, their jobs or old age, but the so-called crutches they turn to, which are just illusions. Sadly, in his case, and for millions like him, the crutches kill. Look at it this way. You've already decided that you're not going to stay in the trap the rest of your life. Therefore, at some time in your life, whether you find it easy or difficult, you'll have to go through the process of getting free. Smoking is not a habit or pleasure. It's drug addiction and a disease. We've already established that far from being easier to stop tomorrow, it will get progressively harder. With a disease that's going to get progressively worse, the time to get rid of it is now, or as near as to now as you can manage. Just think how quickly each week of our lives comes and goes. That's all it takes. Just think how nice it will be to enjoy the rest of your life without that ever-increasing black shadow hanging over you. And if you follow all my instructions, you won't even have to wait 5 days. You'll not only find it easy after extinguishing the final cigarette, you'll enjoy it.